Yeah. Translation: when the living end is in deep sleep, when he faints, when there's some great shock on account of severe loss, the time of death, when the body temperature is very high, the movement of the life air is arrested. At that time, the living end loses knowledge of identifying the body with the self. Wherefore, foolish people deny the existence of the soul, but it's the fact that when we sleep, we forget the identity of the material body, and when we awake, we forget the identity of the subtle body. In other words, while sleeping, we forget the activities of the gross body, and when active in the gross body, we forget the activities of sleeping. Actually, while state sleeping and waking are creations of the illusory energy, the living entity actually has no connection to either the activities of sleep or activities of the so-called waking stage. When a person is in deep sleep, or when he is fainting, he forgets his gross body. Similarly, under chloroform or some other anesthetic, the living entity forgets his gross body and does not feel pain or pleasure during any surgical operation. Similarly, when a man is suddenly shocked by some great loss, he forgets his identification with the gross body. At the time of death, when the temperature of the body rises to 107 degrees, the living entity falls into a coma and is unable to identify his gross body. In such cases, the life air that moves within the body is choked up, and the living entity forgets his identification with the gross body. Because of our ignorance of the spiritual body, of which we have no experience, we do not know of the activities of the spiritual body. In ignorance, we jump from one false platform to another. We act sometimes in relation to the gross body, sometimes in relation to the subtle body. If by Krishna's grace we act in our spiritual body, we can transcend both the gross and the subtle bodies. In other words, we can gradually train ourselves to act in the spiritual body, as stated in the Narada Paramacharita, Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam, Bhakti Rachate. Devotional service means engaged in the spiritual body and spiritual senses in the service of the Lord. When we are engaged in such activities, the actions and reactions of the gross and subtle bodies cease. Translation: when the living entity is in deep sleep, when he faints, when there is some great shock on account of severe loss at the time of death, or when the body temperature is very high, the movement of the life air is arrested. At that time, the living entity loses knowledge of identifying with the body with the self. So here Narada Muni is explaining another type of state of the living entity. He's already described the waking state of the living entity and, to some extent, the dream state of the living entity, in which he experiences things from previous experiences or combinations of things together, or from previous lifetimes or whatever. So, those are both conscious states in which one identifies with either the gross body or the subtle body, and one identifies with a sense of I. And then we have another state called deep sleep, or supti, in which you don't dream. So there, in that sense, there's no identification because you're not perceiving anything. In a dream state, you're sleeping and you're not aware of this body, but you're aware of something. And you have experiences. And even when you're awake, you can remember those experiences. When you go into deep sleep, you don't remember that either. You don't remember anything. So, of course, deep sleep is one of these states. And here's some other things. Fainting state. When you faint, you don't have dreams when you faint either. You just lose consciousness. Or you get shocked in some way. And all of this is due to the irregular functioning of the pranas at that time. due to some different arrangements. So either by natural tendency in deep sleep or in other states like fainting or shock or whatever, or coma, then we lose consciousness of I altogether. It's neither in a dream state or in waking state. So this of course is in some sense like liberation, that state of deep sleep. It is not real liberation, of course, but it means at least you're not aware that I am a material body or even a subtle body. That much is there. But it is not a real state of liberation, but there's some similarity of that state. But it is another state of material existence. So we have these three states, waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. All of that is considered material. We should consider the deep sleep state as spiritual. It's still a material state, even though we lose consciousness at that point. And then when we wake up again, then we're aware again. We regain our identity. So we don't benefit in the same way that if one gets liberation, we don't wake up and then suddenly identify with the body again. It's different. So it's a temporary state. So all of this is arrangements in the material body. Then we have the Turiya state, the fourth state. This is described in the Upanishads and mentioned here in the Bhagavatam also. So the fourth state is the actual spiritual state, where we identify ourselves as a spiritual entity. And this third state, no, but we simply don't, we're not aware of our material identity, but we're not aware of anything else really. So in the fourth state, we actually are conscious of our spiritual identity, either as Brahman or as servant of Krishna. So that is called the fourth state. So to reach that state is usually a difficult thing to do. Naturally, we go into a deep sleep state every night, so there's nothing so wonderful about that. So one state says it's not difficult to lose awareness of your material body. We do that every night. But to permanently get a realization or understanding of our spiritual nature, that is very, very rare. So in the scripture, therefore, the goal is to reach the fourth state and reject all the other three states. The other three states are in relation to our material bodies, gross and subtle. Even in that deep sleep state, even though we're not aware of anything, that condition is caused by our material bodies. When we're getting into the spiritual state, we don't have a deep sleep state where we lose consciousness altogether. We don't get that. Therefore, the spiritual state is the state of that one has to achieve according to the scriptures. And therefore, there are means of getting to that state. And therefore, we have jnana, yoga, and bhakti. Of course, the emphasis in jnana and in yoga is simply to stop the functionings of the mind and the body, and therefore the waking sleep state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state, to get rid of all that. By stopping the activities of the mind and the intelligence, all this. When all the mental functions stop, then the Atma is supposed to reveal itself at that stage. So, what is wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that, because one can ultimately get liberation and enter into Brahman with that. But the negative factor of that is that we are aware, but that awareness is not very specific. In bhakti, the awareness is quite specific. One is aware of oneself, and one is aware of the Lord, and one is aware of a particular relationship with the Lord. So all of that awareness is very specific. And because of that awareness, it gives rise to greater bliss. So that is why in the scriptures it is said that the bliss of Brahman is like a drop of water in the desert compared to the ocean of prema. That is because the consciousness is not fully developed to differentiate between self and Lord and recognize a relationship with the Lord. So the development of that consciousness of oneself and the Lord is practiced through bhakti and not through the other processes. To some degree it is practiced and should be practiced in the other processes. It's not a prominent process, and therefore the ultimate realization is very weak. In bhakti, the relationship with the Lord is the only element. We don't have other elements. That is the main element that one stresses in bhakti. And in the liberated state, then the jiva only has this awareness of the Supreme Lord at all times. So that is his goal and nothing else. So to practice that, therefore, we have the process of pure bhakti. It wants to practice bhakti, but it is not covered or interrupted by other processes, even if they are spiritual, like jnana and karma and whatever. It is not interrupted or obstructed by these elements at all. So the purity of bhakti gives the best result of all. That is the highest amount of bliss for the jiva. So the subtle body and the gross body are obstacles to that, ultimately. And therefore they are given up. And one gets a spiritual body instead, because all of this is an obstacle for a person. If one is in the material world and one has a gross body, but one has realized the Lord, then we're in a state which we call jiva mukta, or liberated in a material body. So this, of course, is better than being in a body and identifying with the body by ignorance. Still, it is not as perfect as having a spiritual body with the Lord, because the limitations of a material body are still there. In some cases, we find that the person attains a spiritual body, which is looks like the gross body they had before, as in the case of Dhruva. His body was the same when he got a spiritual body. Or Narada Muni, of course he's a Shaktivesh avatar anyway, but when he passed out of his body, he didn't actually pass out of his body because he just had the same body again, because he was Narada Muni. In some case, special cases, we see the body is the same. In most cases, it becomes completely different, because the gross body is simply something which we have attained here in the material world by karma. So that body must be given up eventually by the jiva. It is a limitation on the experience with the Lord, obviously, because the spiritual body has no limitations, whereas the material body obviously does. It is subjected to so many limitations of the material nature. So the spiritual experience is somewhat limited in the material body. So the perfect state actually is to give up that material body and get a spiritual body in the spiritual world. That is the highest state. In the case of Nitya Siddhas and the Supreme Lord, their body is always spiritual, so if they're in the material world, they don't have material bodies at all anyway. So there's nothing for them to give up as they disappear from the material world. They don't die. They simply disappear for a month when they have their same spiritual body as ever. So there's no problem for them. But those persons who do have material bodies, they give those bodies up. Those bodies have a certain relationship with certain persons in the material world, being born certain elements and certain parents in a certain place. All that is given up completely by when one leaves the body and attains the spiritual body in the spiritual world. So that is the ideal state. As long as we're in the material world, then we have to simply accept that the material body is there. But for the devotee, he utilizes it if he is doing sadhana. So he utilizes the gross body and the subtle body. And the gross body and the subtle body become helpful in cultivating his bhakti. And if one gets perfection, the gross and subtle bodies are somewhat useful, but ultimately that devotee is more concerned with the spiritual body, so therefore the activities of the material body tend to be minimized. at that point. So that pure devotee does not take much interest in his material body at all. He's completely transcendental to his material body. Not really interested at all. It also becomes some sort of obstacle because he is somehow dependent, that material body is dependent on things in the material world like air for breathing and water and food, etc. Whereas in a spiritual body there's no such dependence at all. So it is somewhat of a hindrance for the perfected devotees. So at a certain point they give up that material body completely and they simply have a spiritual body. So that ends that type of duality completely at that point. Whether in the material body, they're not attached to it at all. They have no identity with it. But still, it is like carrying around some extra luggage for them. So perfection is to get out of that and attain the spiritual realm where they have simply a spiritual body. And once they've attained that spiritual body, that spiritual body is eternal. So they can come into the material world with the Lord, but then they'll have that spiritual body. Being a spiritual body, not a material body. They don't attain material bodies like people of the material world. So that says no more birth, no more death. They have to give up bodies. So all of this this question of subtle body and gross body, whatever, it is a problem because this is where the ignorance carries out its activities through the gross and subtle bodies and the senses, etc. And therefore it's a cause of bondage. But the Supreme Lord is very merciful, and therefore he's allowed that same body to be useful for attaining prema through the process of bhakti. So that is what we have to cultivate with the material body and the mind. Otherwise, we create bondage for ourselves in the material world.
What is the shape of a spiritual body?
It's according to your sadhana.
Mm-hmm. But into the spiritual body, when the jiva takes over, he resembles his material body in physical appearance.
Spiritual body?
When the jiva takes up his spiritual body, material body.
You know, like if you worship Vishnu, you go to, you have four hands, and you got a
physical appearance of a material body and the spiritual body will be same.
How do you mean?
Like a person gets a spiritual body, he gives them, and how will he resemble? How will he resemble that he is the same person?
No, that's a material body due to karma.
So, Maharaj, but when Ramanujacharya tells that his disciple says, "I want to go before you so that when you come, I can welcome you," how his disciple will recognize him?
In the spiritual world, our senses and our mind are not material anyway. So therefore we can recognize another person, not in terms of material identity at all, but in terms of spiritual identity. Okay. With spiritual senses. So we're not limited as in the material world. I have to recognize you because you have a material body like this now. Yeah.
The
material body, it has, it doesn't feel as such by itself, but because it has no consciousness, but it goes through different reactions. And so therefore there is things called pain in the material body, or sleepiness or tiredness or whatever. These are physical reactions in the physical body which are recorded in the brain, and then we say I am tired or I am happy or whatever. So that is a function of the material body. The ultimate experience is the soul's experience, because no one can experience that. So the soul is constantly experiencing all these weird things we do in the material world. But what is it experiencing? It is experiencing a combination of material reactions. Because our experience is ultimately simply interactions of senses with the material world, which are caused by chemical reactions and then light going in your brain and your eye and this, and you see things this way and that way, and all these the nerves or neurons and whatever. It's all chemical reactions, basically.
Right.
And then they give experiences in the brain that I like or I don't like, the pain or not pain, etc. All of this is simple chemical reactions. It has nothing to do with the spiritual body at all. And it's all material things interacting with other material things. But by ahankara, we identify with that experience, that's all. So the atma is experiencing, but through a false identity with the material body.
When you sleep, you forget about the material body and forget the subtle body. And you say that you become more pure, like the human person, but they are daily sleep.
Okay.
A normal person forgets it as an advanced.
Well, if one is very advanced, then he's the center of the spiritual body, not the material body of waking or sleeping or whatever. Though he may be aware of them, they're actually obstacles, both of them. So that is why a person in prema generally does not associate with people in the material world, because he finds it all useless. So whether in sleep state or in waking state, he doesn't really identify with any of that.
Prana is subtle or gross?
It's gross. Prana is also, well, it's a part of the subtle body, but it is a gross element made out of vayu.
Bhagavad Gita says that the material body is kind of fire elements. But actually, there are innumerable living entities in this material body itself. And every living entity in the material body has its own atma and parma.
Just like that outside, so many living energies outside, inside, and all that.
Thank you.
Thank you. பரிகாரம் இல்லை இருக்கா எனக்கு நீங்கள் இது பண்ணி வச்சுருக்கீங்கல்ல
கோபால் குரு கோஸ்வாமி அதுதானே எக்ஸ்பிளைன் பண்ணுறாரு நீங்கள் என்ன ப்ராக்டிஸ் பண்ணிட்டு பண்ணி அதில் ஃபிக்ஸ் பண்ணுறையோ அதுதான் அவங்க சொல்கிறாங்க என்ன பண்ண முடியாத ஆமாம் பிரபு யார் அண்ணீனா ஓ சுக்ருதி மாதாஜி இல்லையா